Okay, as mentioned, we're trying to learn this Gemara fairly quickly. It's Haggadah. So we're up to that Dalad Omed Aleph. If you remember, let's go back to the third wide line. L'David Shomro Nafshi Ki Chosid Oni. David HaMelech described himself as a Chosid. Why so? There's a discussion, two opinions in the Gemara. Maybe more, actually. Levi and Rabbi Yitzchok. So far, two opinions. Machloikas Levi and Rabbi Yitzchok. Chad Omar. One of the opinions says that Kach Omar David. Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Reboina Shaloi Lom Loi Chosid Oni. Am I not considered a righteous person? Shekol Malchei Mizrach. All of the other kings, Mizrach Umarov, in the east and the west, Yeshenim Ad Shaloi Shois. They sleep until the third hour of the day. Vani, Chatzois Laila, Okum Loides Lachon, Ya'ai, arise at Chatzois. That's one interpretation. Ve'idach, Kach Omar David Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Riboyne Shaloilam, Loi Chosid Oni, Shekol Malkei Mizrach Umarov, Yoishvim Agudois, Agudois Bechvoido. All other kings are sitting there in the height of comfort and luxury. And yet I am dirtying my hands with the dam of Nida. So we began seeing Rashi. Look at Rashi. My hands are dirty with blood. Sha'anoshim marais loy dam Nida. Noshim used to show him Dam Nida to ask him a Shaila la Loch in Tomei and Tohir. What's the Shaila? If it's Dam, presumably it's Tomei. Says Rashi, no, not necessarily. Why Sheyesh Mareis Dam Tohir Beisha? Because there are some versions of Dam which are actually Tohir. And therefore, just because it's Dam, one should not assume automatically that it's Tomei. Good morning, Rav Nachum. Good to see you. How's everything?
Good morning, Baruch Hashem, Rebbe.
You're done with your building?
Nope.
No. Says Rashi, Vaita, Ubeshfir Ubeshalia. Now, how do they translate in English, Beshfir Ubeshalia? Would they say it as a placenta?
I think Shalia is placenta. I'm trying to find. Oh, here it is.
Embryos and afterbirths.
Embryos and afterbirths. So yes. David HaMelech was involved in all types of shailas, which involved getting his hands dirty and dumb. So the first type of shailas we just mentioned is to paskin whether the mare of the isha is tomei or tahir. Next, says Rashi, uba shafir. Shafir is an embryo. Hu oir havlad. That's the, I think it's the shfir, I think technically is the sac, the embryonic sac. Shahat somais vahagidim vahabosar, whether the bones or the sinews or the flesh of the child, nitzurim b'seichoi, are created in it. Now, what's the halachic shaila? What's that got to do with David HaMelech? And the answer is, because the question is, if this shfir emerges from the goof of the Isha. Meaning, Balacha is, as we know, nothing to do with Hilchas Nida. When a woman gives birth, then she becomes Tmeya as if she's a Nida. Technically speaking, even though this is not practical, technically speaking, if a woman would give birth and there would be no bleeding whatsoever, she would still be Tmeya. Why do I say it's not practical? Because obviously in the Teva Hadvarim, when she gives birth, there is bleeding. But even if technically there will be no bleeding, she would become Tmeya. So here comes the big question. It's not always clear what constitutes a birth. So obviously if a live child emerges from the womb, that's a full-fledged birth, and all the halachas would apply. But what happens if the shfir, meaning this sack, emerged from the guf? And obviously, unfortunately, this is not now going to materialize into a full pregnancy. So the unborn child is obviously not going to emerge as a child. Rather, the sac emerges. So the question would now be, and again, this is halachic shayla, and this was brought to David HaMelech, would that render the Isha Tmeya or not? Because halachically, a birth doesn't necessarily have to be with a child being born. I myself have been involved in a number of shaylas where a woman, for example, was at a very early stage of pregnancy and unfortunately she miscarried. If she did that, let's say on Erev Yom Kippur, there have been cases where I had to paskin and she does not fast on Yom Kippur because it would constitute a birth, even though unfortunately she never actually gave birth to a baby. And that's what Rashi says over here. The Yesh Shvir, there is a certain type of Shvir, Sheho Isha, Yosheves Olav, Yimei Tuma, Yimei Tahara. There are some Shvirs, meaning a birth, where the woman would have all the halachas. There's the Yimei Tuma and there's Yimei Tahara, which we're not going to get involved now. There's the 7 days and the 33 days, if it's a boy, or a 14 or a 66, etc., etc. The Ezezeh, and what would that be? Zeh HaMurukam. If it's Merukam, meaning it's really got substance to it. With Masechtas Nida, Mafarish Law, if you look at Masechtas Nida, the Gemara there goes into further details, it's not relevant to us now, what would be considered substance. But the Yesh Shvir, on the other hand, there could be a Shvir, Mole Mayim, just full of water, Vadam, She'enoi Choshuv Vlad, that's not considered a child, and therefore not considered a birth. So again, this is halachic shayla. If we were to be asked the question, a woman from whose guf the shvir emerged, would the halachas of childbirth, meaning tuma, apply? The answer is, it depends. Sometimes yes, and sometimes not. So in order for David HaMelech to paskin that, he would have to examine the shvir. He would have to look at the shvir and follow the guidelines as laid down to us in the Gemara in Nidah, which Rashi referred to us. And that's what he means, that I had to get my hands dirty with blood, whether I was checking a mare for dam Nidah, or whether I was checking the shvir to see exactly its substance and its constitution to see whether the woman becomes tomei or not. And what about the third case, ubeshalio? So shalio is similar. Shalio is the placenta. The Tanan ain shalio below vlad. If there's a placenta, then we assume there must be a child. So if the placenta emerged from the goof of the Isha, but there is no child to be seen, so we assume that there must have been a child. Vahu kamin levush. It's type of garment, as it were, shahavlad, sheikhav besoicha, v'koirin Vashtidur Balaz Vatanya Ein Shalya Pachuso Mitefach. Shalya cannot be less than a tefach, Vatchiloso Kachutshel Orev Vesefo Katurmus. It's a whole very detailed description of what this Shalya looks like. Vahoyu Mevien Oisa Lefonov. And they used to bring on occasion this Shalya to David HaMelech for him to inspect. Lirois im yesh bo kashir, to see whether it's got the sufficient shear to be metame the Isha. Because remember, once the shalia has a certain shear, then we say, ein shalia b'lo yivlad. There can't be a shalia with no child, and therefore she's considered to have given birth. Ve'im asuyo kedas shalia. If this is indeed conforms with the rules of shalia, we will have to assume, therefore, there was indeed at some stage a child in this, and now the nimoyach, it then became dissolved. In which case, v'chishev alav, you made tuma v'tara imlav. So therefore, accordingly, you will have to now work out, depending on the size of the shalya, does that mean that there was at some stage a child over here, in which case she's considered to have given birth and all halachas would apply? So these are three cases that David HaMelech said, and this is why he refers himself to as a chassid. All other kings are living in the height of luxury and comfort and would never dirty their hands like this. Says David HaMelech, I dirtied my hands either b'dam, b'shvir, or b'shalya. whether to check dam or whether to check the embryo, whether to check the placenta. The common denominator in all three was obviously to check whether the woman has become tummy or not, but it's three different cases, and all of them had dam. And that's why David HaMelech was saying about himself that he is a chassid. Says the Gemara, v'loyoid. Not only that, said David HaMelech, he continued, and he said, v'loyoid, elo kol ma shani oisa. Very, very important. Says David HaMelech, everything that I do, ani nimlach b'mefi boishes, Rebbe. I always consult with my Rebbe, mefi boishes. V'oimer loy mefi boishes, Rebbe. Yofe danti, and my Rebbe will tell me, yofe danti, whether I paskened correctly, or yofe chiyavti, or that I obligated somebody correctly, or yofe zochisi, or maybe I exoned, I considered somebody innocent and I was correct, or yofe tiharti, or I was metaher, somebody correctly, or yofe timesi, veloi boishti, and I was not embarrassed. So David HaMelech, he was a David Melech of all of Klal Yisrael, and nonetheless, with his immense humility, he was always Messiahites. He always checked out with Mephibosheth if he concurred with his psak. Therefore, he's considered to be a chassid. Says Rashi, what does it mean, zochisi v'chiyavti? That shayech b'dinei mominus. Obviously, innocent and guilty, that's not obviously, that's not referring to Hilchas Nida. In Hilchas Nida, the psak is never chayev or potter. The psak is tomei or toher. So what does David HaMelech mean when he says that I had to be mechayev and I had to poiter? Teretz is as bedinei mominus or dinei nefashes. Are they financial shailas or shailas with regard to whether somebody's chayev misa? And what does it mean, timesi v'tiharati? That obviously is bilchus tumavatara. Mefi boishes, mepi boishes b'divrei halacha. Why was he called mepi boishes? Boishes is a word for embarrassment. Teretz is, because whatever came out of his mouth, hayotzi mepiv, hayot boishes l'dovid. Sometimes what came out of Mephibosheth's mouth was an embarrassment to David. Why was it an embarrassment? Shepa'omi, because on occasion, Shahayatoya. Because sometimes he used to make a mistake. And he would have to say to him, I'm very sorry, Ta'isa, you made a mistake. So David HaMelech was answerable to Mephibosheth. And indeed, on occasion, he had to admit that, yes, actually made a mistake. Okay, back into the Gemara. Omer of Yeshua, Breder of Idi, Maikra. What is the following pasuk? It's a pasuk in Tehillim, and it says, Va'adabra be'edo isecho, neged melochim v'loy eivosh. David HaMelech says, I have to speak sometimes in front of other kings and I'm not embarrassed. That, therefore, says Rabidi, or Meshua Brei Rabidi, is the pasuk that's describing what we just learned, that I'm not embarrassed. And if I have to consult with Mephibosheth, then that's the right thing to do. Says the Gemara, Tana, Loi Mephibosheth Shmoi. Actually, his name was not Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth translates as embarrassment from his mouth, but that wasn't his name. Elo Ish Boishes Shemoi. His name was actually Ish Boishes. V'lama Nikra Shemoi Mephibosheth. So if his name was really Ish Boishes, so why do we refer to him as Mephibosheth? Shayom Vayesh Pnei David Bahalacha. Because, like we said before, sometimes he used to embarrass David HaMelech in Halacha, meaning He had no choice but to say to him on occasion that I'm very sorry to tell you, you made a mistake, Lalacha. So that's why his name got changed from Ish Boishes, which was his real name, to Mafi Boishes. Boishes came from his mouth. Says the Gemara, Lafichach. Therefore, because David HaMelech was willing to be so humble and consult with Mephibosheth on every occasion to see whether he paskened right, and on occasion Mephibosheth had no choice but to tell him that actually he paskened wrong. Because of that, Zocha David V'yotza mimenu kol eiv. Look at Rashi. Third, last, narrow line. Lefichach. Says Rashi, Lefichach, bizchus shehoyo David maktin atzmoy. Because David HaMelech was maktin from a lashon of cotton. He made himself small, humble. Because of David HaMelech's humility, Zocha v'yotza mimenu kolev.
Here they translate as at the kilav. Not the same person as the kolev we know.
No, definitely not. He was a friend of the Torah. Now, who was kilav? Yeah. Says the Gemara, very interestingly, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, loy kilav shmoy, elo Daniel Shmoy. Actually, his name was Daniel. I don't think this is the Daniel that we know in the Lion's Den. It's a different Daniel. V'lomra nikra Shmoy kilav shehoyo mechalim p'nei mefiboshes ba'alocha. Because he was so proficient in halocha that he was able, as it were, to embarrass mefiboshes even. Kilav is like from Loshon of Mechalim, shame. V'olov Omar Shloima b'chochmosoi, and about him, Shloima HaMelech said in his great wisdom, B'ni, im chocham libcha, yismach libi gam oni, v'oimer chocham b'ni v'somach libi v'ashibi charfi dovo. Okay, let's continue. V'david, mi kari l'nafshei chosid? Question mark. Did David HaMelech really refer to himself as a chassid? We saw two interpretations. He either considered himself a chassid because he got up earlier than all other kings, or because he was prepared to expect shailas in Hilchas Dam. Says the Gemara, is that really true, that he referred to himself as a chassid? Voksi, but it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, written obviously by David HaMelech, Lulei Hemanti, of course, we all know this from Perek LeDavid. Lulei Hemanti Lirois B'tuv Hashem Be'eretz Chaim V'tonei Mishmeder B'yaisi Lomo Nokud Al Lulei. If you look at the words Lulei in the Tehillim, there are actually dots on it. Why are there dots on the word Lulei? Omar, the Gemara explains, Omar David Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribbono Shel Olam Muvtach ani becha, I'm absolutely confident in you. She'ato meshaleim schar toiv latzadikim la'osid lovei. I'm absolute, I have bitochen, you're definitely going to pay schar toiv. You're going to pay the full reward for tzadikim when I'm about. What's the problem? Avol eini yoideya. Im yeshli chelek beinehem im lav. But I don't really know whether I have a chelek in them. Why? Because shema yigroim hachet. Meaning, undoubtedly, David HaMelech knew that he definitely had zchuyos and he had done mitzvahs over his life, but maybe there was a chet. So David HaMelech was saying, yes, I have bitoch, and I certainly believe in the concept of olam haba and Gan Eden and Schar, but who says I'm going to have a chelik in all of this? Shema Yigrim Hachet. Shema Yigrim Hachet. Now, the truth is, Shema Yigrim HaChet, as Rashi explains, is actually the answer to the Gemara's Kasha. It's not part of the Gemara's question, it's the answer. Meaning, what was the question of the Gemara? How can David HaMelech, how can we say that David HaMelech refer to himself as a chassid if elsewhere he was worried he's not going to get any Olam Haba? So did he view himself as a chassid or did he view himself as somebody who's unworthy of Olam Haba? And the answer was, it's not a contradiction. Because yes, he considered himself in the main as a chassid, but Shema Yigraim HaChit. But maybe there was a chait that would outweigh anything and that would now cancel out as Olam Haba. Look at Rashi. Look at Rashi on the fourth wide line, on the fourth wide line. That is a teretz, the Gemara's kasha. Meaning, la'olam muchzeg b'yada ishu chassid. Yes, David HaMelech was considered as a chassid. V'zeh shesipik b'yada, or sofik b'yada. That which he had a doubt, im yireh b'tuv Hashem, whether he'll be zeicher to see the Tov Hashem, and that's what it means, luli emanti lirois b'tuv Hashem, will I see the Tov Hashem, will I be zeicher to Gan Eden? The answer is, l'fi shehayo yorei, because he was afraid, shema yechto, maybe he will sin, v'yigre machet, and the sin will cause, milirois b'tuv, from seeing the Tov, in other words, from being zeicher to Gan Eden. So, did he view himself as a chassid? Absolutely. But who says I'll get to Gan Eden? Maybe there'll be Averis. And the Gemara gives a precedence for this. Kedir Rabbi Yaakov, back into the Gemara. Kedir Rabbi Yaakov ba'idi. The Rabbi Yaakov ba'idi Rami ksiv. What does it mean, Rami? He asks the following contradiction. What's the contradiction? This is very famous. On the one hand, ksiv, v'hine onoichi imoch ushmarticha b'chol asher telech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yaakov Avinu, I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to guard you wherever you go. And yet, the ksiv, and it says, v'yiro Yaakov, and Yaakov was afraid. Ma'oid. Isn't that a contradiction? Or at least a kasha? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu guaranteed that he's going to be okay, so why was he afraid? And the answer is, Omar, Shema Yigam Achit. Yes, Yaakov Avinu knew about the promise, and he knew about his own righteousness, but he was worried, maybe there's an Avera which will disqualify him, consider him not worthy of the brachas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So too, just like Yaakov Avinu was saying, Shema Yigam Achet, so too, David HaMelech was saying the same. That even though I believe in the Koyach of Olam Haba, but maybe I won't be Zeicher to get there. Not because it doesn't exist, but rather because I've done an Aveira, which will then cancel my Olam Haba. Says the Gemara, Kedatanya. Just like we've learned in a Braisa. What does it say in the Braisa? Ad yavoir amcho Hashem. We say this in Psukim of Shira. Ad yavoir amcho Hashem. Ad yavoir amzuk kanisa. Ad yavoir amcho Hashem. The first ad yavoir amcho Hashem zu bio rishoino. This refers to Klal Yisrael entering Eretz Yisrael for the first time together with Yeshua. That's what it means. Ad yavoir amcho Hashem. Then ad yavoir amzu kanisa zu biyashnia. That's referring now to Klal Yisrael's re-entering to Klal Yisrael, into Eretz Yisrael, meaning after they've been exiled into Bavel. So as we know, Ezra brought them back into Eretz Yisrael. That's called the biyashnia. That's what this pasuk is referring to. Says the Gemara, Mikan Omru Chachomim. So from over here, the Chachomim said, Ru'uyim Hoyu Yisrael Le'oseis Lohem Neis Bimei Ezra. Really, when Klal Yisrael re-entered Eretz Yisrael second time, they should have had miracles performed for them. Just like Derech Shenasel and Bimei Yeshua Ben Nun. However, Elo Shegora Machit. So even though Klal Yisrael was zeicha to re-enter Eretz Yisrael, but it wasn't in the same force, it wasn't in the same miraculous fashion that they did first time. Why? Again, even though it was promised and all foreseen by the Torah, Yavaram Hashem and Yavaram Zuponisa, but nonetheless, Shema Yigram Achit. So you see now three examples of people who may well have been tzaddikim, but if they were also a chait, that could now unravel everything, says Rashi. Vayiro Yaakov, Shemo Achar Ha'avtocha, maybe after Avtocha, Chotosi I sinned. Ukedetanya Shachit Goyrem Shein Ha'avtocha Miskayemes. So we have a chazal that says that after sin, the promises of HaKadosh Baruch were not necessarily fulfilled. So be a Rishayna Shiva Yeshua. Be a Shnia Mashma, sorry, Kisha'olu Migolos Bovel B'mei Ezra. When Klal Yisrael came from Bovel in the times of Ezra, this is now their second entry into Eretz Yisrael, but there was a very big difference. Because Ru'uyim Hoyu Le'aseis Nehemneis Lovoi B'yad Roma. They could have come and they should have come. B'yad Roma with a lofty hand in miraculous fashion, and that didn't happen. Why not? The answer is, says Rashi, Elo Shigara Machet, V'loi Holchu Elo Birshus Kairesh, V'chol Yemei Malchei Poras Nishtabdu Lohem L'Kairesh V'Lachashveirosh or the Dariush Ha'achrein. Okay, this is the whole lesson in history. But either way, we have a common theme now. So Dovid HaMelech may well have considered himself a chassid, as indeed he expressed in Tehillim. Nonetheless, the reason why he doubted that it would be zeicha to get to Olam Haba, and that's what it means, lulei he'emanti lirois b'tuv Hashem, means I do have emuna, but I'm not sure if I'm going to see the tuv Hashem, meaning the Gan Eden. And the answer was, he knew he was a chassid, but maybe there was a chit. Same as Yaakov Avinu, who had been promised by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and yet he was worried there was a chet. So to Klal Yisrael, who were told they're going to enter Eretz Yisrael, and yet they did not enter in miraculous fashion. Why not? Because of Shavagor Machit. Right. Okay. I'm afraid I have to finish a little bit early today. So we'll stop over here, and then all being well, I guess we'll learn next on Monday, which hopefully will be the day after Shavuos. For those of you who join our Parsha Shir, there'll be a Shir tonight, Shavuos related, even though it will be connected to the Parsha. And then the Gemara Shir will, Mitzvah Hashem, resume on Isru Chag, which will be next Monday, Mitzvah Hashem.
Thanks, Shikolach.
All the best, everybody.
Thank you.